said, you know, we have one of the best worship groups I think I've ever had seen. You know, I've been to a lot bigger churches, and you guys do an awesome job, Beth. But this morning I want to say that I don't know how you prepare for this, but you start this, right? You started what was going on up here. And the Lord was moving through here. So I don't know how you prepare. For me, I'd probably just sit down and put some songs together and say, okay, they sound good. But I'm sure the Lord directs you on what to do. And he directs you, and then you follow, because that's what you're supposed to do. But I got to tell you, my watch went off. It buzzed, and it said, you have reached 90 decibels of noise. And it says, if you continue for 30 minutes, you'll have hearing loss. And I said, well, hallelujah, because I can tell you, if I didn't lose my hearing from things I listened to earlier in life, I won't listen to it now. I won't lose it now. But I just want to tell you, God's with you. You start this. Every week, maybe the apple didn't fall far from the tree, you know, so maybe you'll feel that in those shoes someday. But I just want to thank you for what you do.
Amen. Thank you, Joe. Amen. She's an anointed woman of God. Amen. Amen. I love it. Thank you for sharing that. Hallelujah. He's good, isn't he? Yeah. You done had church already. We could have went home, except them kids got things to do downstairs. So I do have some bad news, though, for you. The clock is not working back there again, and it's about 12. So it's only 5 minutes till 11. So we're good. We're good. We're good. Except Joe's watch is working. It went off. So he's going next level. Can somebody say next level for Joe there? 90 decimals and next level. So, amen. I know you got all them dinners planned today, but I do have a few things I want to share. And I do want to allow our kids to have some time downstairs. And yeah, because they don't think they've been to church unless they get to have Sunday school anyway. So very thankful today and always. As you know here, we just celebrate women. It's not about moms or whatever, but it's just about women. We celebrate our men as well. I love the coming together of family. I love to see family in church. I love to see our children. I love to see what God is doing in them. I love to see God start to draw them to the front when the presence of the Lord and the anointing starts to happen and begins to flow. And I just want to tell you, moms and dads, God and the anointing and power of the Holy Spirit will do more in a moment than you can do in a lifetime. So if I can tell you anything today that you go home with, get your kids in church, get your families. If you need a place, a safe place, if you need a place to come. And man, how important it is to have a village that will surround you in a moment and lift up your hands and pray over you and speak life over you. And in case you don't know it, our worship team was prophesying over you today. And Brittany encouraged you to prophesy it over yourself. Declare what you sing to be the truth and declare it to be what God is saying in your life. I mean, there's some things you got to say goodbye to. And there's some things you got to open the door and say hello to and invite the presence of the Lord into every area of your life. You know what we so often have done is when we start to struggle in our life, we run from God instead of running to God. When he wants you to run smack dab right dab into the middle of the arms of a loving father, because everything you will ever need is on the lap of Abba, Papa God. Amen. And so I'm very thankful for my upbringing, and I'm thankful for the presence of God in my life, and I'm thankful for the church that knows how to flow in worship and will step out in the anointing and recognize it and allow God to move through them, to them, to bring healing and hope. And man, he's just so precious this morning. Amen? And so I want to share a few things with you this morning about fearless women. Man, It is so hard to prepare for a Mother's Day sermon. I usually get Lynn to do it, and I just had him preach a week or so ago. I was like, okay, I'll do this one. Not because there's not anything to say, because there's too much to say, if you understand that. So many women of the Bible I could preach on, so many are my heroes of the faith. Somebody tell me your hero of the Bible. JL. Oh, she's my girl, JL. Huh? That's Dan's hero too, he said. That the only one? Ruth, Rahab, Hannah, Elizabeth, Deborah, Mary, who lost Jesus, and yeah, she left him at Walmart, right? Aaron said she loves the fact that Mary lost Jesus for 3 days. It gives her hope as a mom that, you know, they thought Jesus was in the caravan and he wasn't. She'd left him in Walmart, right? She had to go back and get him. I told that boy to get on the wagon, and we were leaving, you know. The scripture said, but he was about his father's business. Amen. I mean, sometimes we don't understand our kids. Sometimes we don't understand our kids, but we got to trust the fact that God is working in them. And can I tell you something this morning? It's going to give you some comfort. He loved them before you ever did. He held them before you ever did. And so when we wonder about, was I a good mom? Was I a bad mom? Or did I do it right? Did I do it wrong? Could I have done it different? You know, you can stand in guilt and shame and look backwards in the rearview mirror. You can look through the windshield going forward and say, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Yeah. Because I believe that there are declarations we can make over our house when our kids don't have no clue what we're doing. Amen. We know how to anoint their shoes and pray over their cars, and we know how to sing to them in the womb, and we know how to stand up in the middle of our living rooms or our kitchens and begin to pray when the Holy Spirit stirs our heart and says, your baby needs some prayer, you better stand up and pray. Come on, somebody. Do I have any fearless women in the house that said, if you ever want to find a fight in me, you come after one of my cubs, because the maddest I've ever been is when you're going to mess with my babies. And if we feel that way about our children, how much more does God feel that way about us? You belong to me before you ever belong to anybody else's opinion. You had a purpose before anybody else had an opinion. And what they say doesn't matter. You be who God has called and anointed you to be, and you will fulfill your role and your destiny. And let me just tell you, it is not what everybody else looks like. Man, us women, we're so bad at comparison. Compare ourselves to each other, and, you know, we feel like we're less than sometimes if we don't do it like that person does it. How many know he created you unique to be who he's called you to be? But I will tell you, one of the greatest callings ever that God will put in your heart is to minister to your household. The greatest calling you will ever have will be to minister to the ones that God has put in your hands, whether they belong to you, whether you birthed them, whether you nursed them, or whether God just put them in your basket. How many know God called us all to be? How many know women are nurturers by nature? It was the myrrh bearers who showed up at the tomb. It was the Spice Girls who came when grief and mourning were there, that came to minister and came to do what they could do in a hopeless situation. Do I have any myrrh bearers in here this morning? Said, I don't know the answer to what just happened, but I'm going to show up with my spices, and I'm going to show up with my anointing, and I'm going to get there. And whatever happens when I get there, we're going to do it together. Yeah. Hallelujah. Do you know women are herd animals? We like company. We like be together, right? There's something that happens when we come together, I believe, and joining together. Powerful women raise powerful women. And I am so thankful for the women who have been in my life that have been an influence and that have poured into me. Allow me to fall and make mistakes, but yet allowed me to know how to make some bread, whip up a pie. Amen. Bread is anointing. Bread is men. Man cannot live by bread alone, but women can. That's my motto. I'm going to get me a t-shirt that says that. Amen. Bring your own bread. We're going to talk about that a little bit. And some of the ladies are going to understand. I'm going to share a couple things, but we shared at a women's thing. And we were heading to a women's conference, and it got flooded out. And we were heartbroken for them. And we were deciding whether to come back. And all the women said, oh, no. But I want to tell you, God does not waste anything. And He gave us some precious time together where we cried, we prayed, we prophesied, we preached, we did. God did something in those moments, because God does not waste anything. He will take a moment and turn it into an opportunity for favor in your life. But what a sweet presence there is in the house this morning. But I'll tell you a couple, little bit of advice, a couple things here. Yes, please get a new cup every time you need water, said no mom ever. Have kids, they say. It will be fun, they say. Mom's recipe for iced coffee. Have kids. Make coffee. Forget you make coffee. Put it in the microwave. Forget you put it in the microwave. And then just drink it cold. How do you know when something is officially lost? When mom can't find it. Somebody say amen. What's the worst thing about being a mom at dinner time? You're waiting for her to cook dinner and then you realize you are her. Science teacher asks his student, when is the boiling point reached? Student responds. Student responds with, when her mother asks her child more than 1 million times to do something. Men want a fast Corvette. Women want a fast metabolism. Bring up Genesis for me. Let's preach. Let's preach a little bit. Genesis chapter 2. Is that what I gave you? Yeah, I need it in 2. So you don't even have to bring it up if you don't want to. Mom brain. How about that? I have Genesis 3 at the top, and I have Genesis 2 at the bottom, so that's okay. As I was thinking yesterday about what to share to encourage the women of the house, this scripture came to my mind. And, of course, as I said, I could preach, you know, we can preach on the Esthers. We can preach on the JLs. We can preach on the Deborahs. We can preach on the Yochebed. We can preach on the midwives. We can preach on, I mean, the list goes on and on, right? That from the very beginning, God's design was perfect. I mean, you know, He designed that man and woman should dwell together. And it says in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 18, and the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helpmeet for him. And out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all the cattle and to the fowl of the air and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helpmeet for him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof, and the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, made he a woman and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh. She shall be called, woe, man, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife. They shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, and the man and his wife, and they were not ashamed. So when I read this scripture, Amplified said, it is not good or beneficial for the man to be alone. I will make him a helper, one who balances him, a counterpart who is suitable and complementary for him. The only thing that God said was not good out of creation was, he said, man, separated the light from the darkness, that's good. Created the heavens and the earth, that's good. Created the animals of the field, that's good. He created man, he said, it's not good. Not that man was not good, but it was not good for him to be alone. So God created animals. He said, Adam, name the animals. If you call it zebra, we're going to call it for the eons of time, we're going to call it zebra. You call it a lion, we're going to call it a lion. And he put him in a garden, and he put him by rivers and lakes, and he provided everything in that garden. But he said, there's something missing. It's not good. It's not good that man should be alone. Loneliness is not good. It's not good. You can be in a relationship, a marriage. You can be a room full of people and still be lonely. Amen? It's not good to be alone. And so out of that, he creates a woman. And he creates her out of his side. He makes her bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh. She has his same DNA. She is his ribeye. Amen? His ribeye. She doesn't take him out of his head to rule over him. She doesn't take him from his feet for him to be walked on or to her to walk on him. But she takes him from his side so that they could walk in unison together. We are bone of bone and flesh of flesh. And that is God's design. And so then we see in the garden that, you know, that he places them in the garden. He places everything that they have. They are tempted by the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And when God comes to them of the cool of the day, he says, Adam, where are you? And he, for the first time, he cannot, he's looking for where Adam is. Not just physically, merely spiritually, Adam, where are you? And so when he comes to them, he said, did you, he said, well, we were naked and we hid ourselves. He said, who told you that? I never told you that. God never once pronounced guilt, shame on Adam and Eve. They pronounced it on themselves. He asked Adam, he said, who told you that you were naked? Did you eat of the tree? And you know what Adam said? That woman you gave me, she ate, and then she gave it to me. But can I tell you this morning that Eve was never given the command not to eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil? Did you know that? That command was given to Adam before Eve was ever created. And so what Adam should have done, he blamed Eve for eating from the wrong tree, when what he should have said is, I didn't tell her we weren't supposed to, and covered her. You are real quiet. However, Eve did not receive the commandment, but she should have confided in her husband and not listened to other voices, because in the first, for the first time, they felt shame and uncovered, and separation was put into place. I mean, a lot of times it's easy to play the blame game in our relationships, our marriages, our kids, whatever it is. But he said, it's not good that man should dwell alone. I'm going to make a helpmeet for him. So God's design from the beginning was that man and woman should walk together in unison, bone of bone, flesh of flesh, with God being the only voice that they would hear and heed to. And so his design was to create man and woman from the beginning. And I want to talk about some powerful women this morning. I just want to encourage you a little bit. I really am going to try to be sensitive to the time, but do you know that elephants circle around a birthing elephant to protect the young? In elephant society, when a female is giving birth, the other female elephants in the herd form a protective circle around her and the newborn calf. This behavior serves to shield both birthing mother and the baby from potential predators who may be attracted by the vulnerable scent of the newborn. The protective circle also provides a sense of support and community for the new mother. And they also circle around a baby elephant during an earthquake. How powerful is that? Do I have any elephants in the room today? I'll raise my hand. How many know if it's not good, it's not done? Beth sang that to you this morning. I will say that her songs were right in line with what I was going to preach, and she doesn't know that. She doesn't know what I'm going to preach, but she sang about it's not good if it's not done. But I also thought about the power of a lioness in a pride. I mean, are thankful for the male lion that is strong and the Lion of Judah that you sang about this morning. Man, when I think about that and I sing about the Lion of Judah, I think about the strength and the roar and the power of the Lion of Judah that hath prevailed. He's very much a lamb, but he's very much a lion. Amen. We can't preach one without the other. He's very much a lamb, but he's very much a lion as well. And the Lion of Judah has prevailed. But the lioness is a symbol of power, strength, and courage. They will nurse each other's cubs. They will groom each other or become each other's mirror. I like that. How often do we look in the mirror and don't like what you see? Never? Sometimes we're looking in the mirror. Most of the time when you're looking in the mirror, you're not looking for what's right about you. You're looking for what's wrong about you, right? You're looking for what you need to fix. I said to somebody yesterday, joking, when we were at a bridal shower, I said, I hate it when I leave my phone on selfie mode, and then I get up first thing in the morning and turn it on. I was like, whoa, how did that person get in my phone, you know? But we so often are looking for our imperfections instead of all of the things that are right with us. But lions will become each other's mirrors. That means they will reflect the beauty. They will tell you the beauty that's there and not the flaws. They hunt for the pride in teams. They teach survival skills. Like elephants, lions' prides are matriarchal, making up the core of a pride. Female lions execute decisions, coordination, in order to ensure the survival of the pride. How many know sometimes the best thing we can do is just survive? My mom said there are reasons why animals eat their young. But I want to read a scripture about a woman today. I didn't hear her mentioned in our story, so we're going to bring it up. 1 Samuel 25, and I think I gave her the right one on this one. But we're going to read this scripture, and some of you girls are going to know what I'm talking about, but you can just say amen or oh me. This is a time when David has been anointed king, but he's not yet been set in as, you know, the king totally, and he's still, you know, in that. How many are thankful that God is the God of the gap? Like, I love the anointing of David, but how many know there were steps from David, even from the anointing, that God matured him before he ever set him on a throne? Like, we can see potential in others, and we can see potential in our kids and things like that, but how many know somebody's got to pull that out of them? Somebody's got to draw on that sometimes. Sometimes somebody's got to encourage them and speak that over them and remind them who they are. But it's at a point, it says, now Samuel died, and all Israel assembled and mourned for him, and they buried him his home in Ramah. Then David moved down into the desert of Paran. A certain man in Maon who had property there at Carmel was very wealthy. He had 1,000 goats and 3,000 sheep, which he was shearing in Carmel. What a man, what a man, what a man, right? His name was Nabal, and his wife's name was Abigail. She was an intelligent and beautiful woman, but her husband was surly and mean in his dealings. His name means fool. He was a Calebite. While David was in the wilderness, he heard that Nabal was shearing sheep, so he sent 10 young men and said to them, go to Nabal at Carmel and greet him in my name. Say to him, long life to you, good health to you and your household, and good health to all that is yours. Now I hear that it is sheep shearing time. When your shepherds were with us, we did not mistreat them. And the whole time they were at Carmel, nothing of theirs was missing. Ask your own servants, and they will tell you. Therefore, be favorable toward my men. Since we have come at a festive time, please give your servants and your son David whatever you can find for them. When David's men arrived, they gave Nabal this message in David's name. Then they waited. Nabal answered David's servants, "Who is this David? Who is this son of Jesse? Many servants are breaking away from their masters these days. Why should I take my bread and water and the meat that I have slaughtered for my shearers and give it to men coming from who knows where?" David's men turned around and went back. When they arrived, they reported every word. David said to his men, "Each of you strap on your sword." Everybody say, "Strap on your sword." So they did, and David strapped on his as well. About 400 men went up with David, while 200 stayed with the supplies. One of the servants told Abigail, Nabal's wife, "David sent messengers from the wilderness to give our master his greetings, but he hurled insults at them. Yet these men were very good to us. They did not mistreat us. The whole time we were in the fields near them, nothing was missing. Night and day, they were a wall around us the whole time we were herding our sheep near them. Now think it over and see what you can do, because disaster is hanging over our master and his whole household. He is such a wicked man that no one can talk to him." Abigail acted quickly. She took 200 loaves of bread, 2 skins of wine, 5 dressed sheep, 5 seahs of roasted grain, 100 cakes of raisins, and 200 cakes of pressed figs, and loaded them on donkeys. Then she told her servants, "Go ahead, I'll follow you." But she did not tell her husband, Nabal. As she came riding her donkey into a mountain ravine, there was David and his men descending toward her, and she met them. David had just said, "It's been useless all my watching over this fellow's property in the wilderness, so that nothing of his was missing. He has paid me back evil for good. May God deal with David, be it ever so severely, if by morning I leave alive one male of all who belong to him." When Abigail saw David, she quickly got off her donkey and bowed down before David with her face on the ground. She fell at his feet and said, "Pardon your servant, my lord, and let me speak to you. Hear what your servant has to say. Please pay no attention, my lord, to that wicked man, Nabal. He is just like his name. His name means fool, and folly goes with him. As for me, your servant, I did not see the men my lord sent. And now, my lord, as surely as the Lord your God lives and you live, since the land has kept you from bloodshed and from avenging yourselves with your own hands, may your enemies and all who are intent on harming my lord be like Nabal. Let this gift which your servant has brought to my lord be given to the men who follow you. Please forgive your servant's presumption." And then she starts to prophesy. "Your Lord, the Lord your God, will certainly make a lasting dynasty for my Lord, because you fight the Lord's battle, and no wrongdoing will be found in you as long as you live. Even though someone is pursuing you to take your life, the life of my Lord will be bound securely in the bundle of the living by the Lord your God, but the lives of your enemies he will hurl away as from the pocket of a sling. When the Lord has fulfilled for my Lord every good thing he promised concerning him and has appointed him ruler over Israel, my Lord will not have this on his conscience, the staggering burden of needless bloodshed or of having avenged himself. When the Lord God has brought my Lord success, remember your servant." I'm going to stop there for just a moment. The name Abigail means father's joy. So we have a situation where David is coming to collect from Nabal. He said, "Look, we need you to help support our men while we're out here in the wilderness. We have been a wall about you. We have protected you. We have served you. And now we just ask for a favor to come back in our court." And so when he gets there, Nabal is drunk. He's a fool. He's a mean, churlish man. The Bible calls him, in King James, calls him churlish. And he says, "Who is this David?" He's like every other rogue that runs around and flees from his master. And when I read that this morning, I thought, who is that David? And I thought, if you only knew who that David was. If you only knew about the son of Jesse, you'd known he was a giant slayer. You'd have known he was a worshiper. You'd have known he was the one who writes the 23rd Psalm. You would have known that he's the next king of Israel. You would have known that he's the one that flees, that's protects them from the Philistines. Do you know who is this David? And so the men come back and said, the guy's a fool, and he's not going to do what you ask him. And so David looks at his 400 men, and he said, strap on your swords. I'm going to strap on my sword as well, and we're going to the house of Nabal, and we're going to have vengeance because he has rejected the son of David. He has rejected David, the son of Jesse. He has rejected the king. He has rejected my favor. But I got to tell you, when I read this story, and we shared this a little bit down at with the girls, when I read this story, we got 400 men, right, on horses, strapped on their swords. David straps on their swords, and we got a woman named Abigail, whose name means my father's joy. And she tells to her servants, get my donkey, get provision, saddle up. Where's my ride or die? We are going to saddle up. We're riding in, and I'm going to meet David. Now, here's the picture that I want you to get from this, though. David's men, everybody say 400, strapped on swords. David straps on his sword. Abigail saddles up, and she shows up to a sword fight with a loaf of bread. Now, you want to talk about some fearless women? We got a woman named Abigail who's showing up to a sword fight with a loaf of bread. She said, all right, servants, go get the bread. Go get the wine and go get the lamb. And I want to tell you this morning, that shows me a picture of a fearless woman that knows the power of the bread and wine, that says, if you want to come up against my house, you're going to have to pass through the bread first. You're going to have to pass through the wine first. You're going to have to pass through the lamb first, because I am armed with a loaf of bread and I know how to use it. Do I have any women in the house that said, don't mess with my house, don't mess with my kids, not on my day, not on my watch? I know the power of the blood. I know the power of the covenant. I mean, when Jesus sat down at the meal with his disciples, he began to break it and he said, boy, that smells good. Doesn't that smell good? He sits down with his disciples. 400 men smelled some bread. I want somebody to get the smell of some bread in here today. I don't know about you, but man, you can walk into Subway, and I don't care if you're hungry or not. You're going to smell that bread bacon, and you want yourself a sandwich. Anybody? Anybody in the house? I don't know why they don't make candles that are bread baking scented, because I would buy myself one, but I would probably weigh 300 pounds, because every time I walk in the house and smell the aroma of homemade bread. Jesus sat down with his disciples. He said, guys, these next couple days are going to be rough. I'm going to be delivered into the hands of sinful men. I'm going to be crucified. I'm going to be falsely accused. I'm going to be beaten. They're going to put thorns on my head that's going to pierce into my brow to my skull. They're going to rip the flesh from my back. You're going to witness some of the most hard things you've ever walked through. But before you ever do, I'm going to tell you, this is my body. This is my blood that was shed for you. This is the lamb. And the best thing you can do is fill your belly full of communion and the wine. Because when you face temptation, when you face struggle, when you face hardships in your line, in your life, you better hope that you've gone into it equipped with a loaf of bread and some wine, and understanding that the death of the lamb was your death, and that by the blood of Jesus that your household is covered. I mean, we need some women to stand up and say, not on my day, not on my watch, saddle my donkey, get my bread, get the wine, get the lamb. And then they took applesauce raisin cakes, applesauce raisin bread, and some figs. This was not a woman who just went with a loaf of bread in her hand. She took a buffet. Do I have any buffet women in the house this morning? We talked just the other day about our families and growing up, and we didn't have a lot eaten, but if you ever came to our house, you were surely to get invited to have something to eat. It might not been a whole lot, but nothing says loving like something from the oven. Come on, there's something about sitting at the table or sitting at a meal or being fed by someone. And I'm going to tell you, I thought about you last night, Sherry, when I thought about the woman with a buffet. I thought there is as much ministry goes on down in our dining halls with Joyce and some of those women down there. There's been more people probably healed behind the stove and the pots and pans in that dining hall that maybe been healed up here. Because I'm going to tell you, when you know who you are, it doesn't matter if you got a ladle in your hand. It doesn't matter if it's a microphone, a piano, a typewriter, a pen, whatever it is. When you understand the body and the blood of Jesus wherever you are, you realize that I am a force to be reckoned with. Saddle up my donkey, let's ride, because I'm going to set a buffet for my enemy if I have to, but I'm going down to face the King. And when I get to the King, I'm going to say, oh King, I've been in covenant with foolishness. How many know she was married and she had been in covenant with foolishness? But how many know that covenant is about to break because she's about to ride into her King? And when she gets there, she not only brings provision for the King, but she gets there and she starts to prophesy over him. She said, Mr. David, I know who you are. My husband may not know who you are, but she starts to prophesy. You have been called. You have been anointed. You have been chosen. You have been purposed for such a time as this. And she starts to prophesy over him to the point that David gives her mercy. She finds favor in the King's eyes. And when she finds favor in the King's eyes, she not only finds favor, but guess what? Nabal's life is taken, and she becomes the bride of a king who now will produce a son that is the father's joy. See, you can roll over and you can accept what comes your way, or you can saddle up, get up, get off your donkey, show up. Not empty-handed. Some of you have fought through more things than you've ever should have had to fought through, but you've did it, and you've stood, and you've loved in spite of it, and because of it, God will bring favor on your house because you stand as a mighty anointed vessel of God in your house. And I refuse to let the enemy come to my house. I refuse to let it knock on my door. I refuse the sword of the enemy to want to come to me. I'm going to meet my enemy. And when I do it, I'm not going with violence, but I'm going with anointing, and I'm going to go with what God has provided for me. When Esther got ready to go to the king, she didn't know how favored she was. He said, go ahead and ask me. Go ahead and ask me, beautiful, because you can have up to the half of my kingdom. Some of you need to ask. Some of you need to present yourself before the king and realize how much favor you have with him. She had been in covenant with foolishness. That's what his name means. Nabal means fool, drunkardness, wastefulness. She had a bad connection. I mean, she was connected to the fool. But she was willing to approach the king and petition for her house. She was one woman against 400 men of David's army. The only one I know of that ever showed up to a sword fight with a loaf of bread and a flask of wine and the body and blood of Jesus and fig cakes to set a buffet. Never underestimate a woman with a loaf of bread in her hand. She begins to prophesy. She births a son called Chilion, which means like unto his father. I may show she birthed a king's kid. A PK. A preacher's kid. But we need to raise some sons and daughters that have the DNA of their father. Amen. And I'm not just talking about an earthly father. I'm talking about raising some kids that know that Abba, Papa God is in charge. And no matter what comes against me, I have the DNA of my Heavenly Father. And that is what I want to be seen in the earth. And that's what I want produced. Fearless doesn't mean the absence of fear. It means doing it afraid. You can either let it control you or you control the fear and use it for your benefit. Like the motivation to run from the bear. Because fear is your friend at times. How many know fear will make you make decisions quickly, but you are not governed or lived by fear? So I called this, when I was down there, I called this BYOB, this sermon, BYOB. Bring your own bread. But then there was a woman who brought her own bottle. And she sat at the feet of Jesus, and she changed the atmosphere in the room by breaking open an alabaster box. And then there was a woman who brought her own barrel and her own biscuit, the woman of Zarephath, because God prepared her heart before the man of God ever got there, or she would have never given that biscuit to that man of God. I can tell you that. But God had prepared her heart. And she was a widow woman who had nothing. And man, when I thought about that yesterday, Linda, I thought about Grandma Ethel with a son and a widow at her house. She didn't have a barrel full. She had daily, barely made it through on what income and stuff that she had, raised kids all by herself. But man, what impact she has had on nations of the earth, because she was willing to give what little she had to the man of God. And when she did submit it to the man of God, he multiplied it. And God blessed her house and blessed her family. You can bring your own barrel, bring your own. The woman who came to the well brought her own bucket. But Jesus had something better in mind. Fearless is a bottle of perfume that you dare take the lid off of in a posture that sits in a room where you are rejected, despised, and not welcomed, but pushing through for an encounter. That's the woman with the alabaster box. Fearless is a glass of milk served to your enemy, knowing that you're not a warrior or captain of an army, but if you do your part, God will do his. Her name is Jael. Jael means mountain goat. She knows the power of a nail. Come on, I need some women who know the power of a nail in here, who know how to climb the heights of the mountains of a mountain goat and said, I'm not a Deborah, I wasn't raised like that, but whatever you put in my hand to do, God, I'm going to be faithful to what you call me to do. Because when Barak said, I don't know if I want to go to battle unless you go with me, Deborah. Deborah's name means bee. I thought it could mean honeybee. But I'm probably thinking it's probably a hornet. I'm thinking she's probably a hornet. But he said, I'm not going unless you go. How many know God anointed women from the beginning, not to rule over men, but to walk together with them? She said, Barak, get your chariot. I'm going to ride with you. Because everybody needs a champion in their chariot sometimes to ride with them and say, if I'm going to go ahead and prophesy it over you, I'm going to stand behind you and I'm going to support you and I'll ride the chariot with you and I'll go with you. I'm not sending you by yourself, but I'm going to ride with you and I will be the champion in your chariot. But God's not going to give the victory to Barak. He's going to give it to the woman in a tent with a glass of milk and a hammer in her hand that knows the power of a nail. I need some women to rise up and say, I may not be Deborah, I might not be Esther, I might not be Abigail, but I got a hammer in my hand and I know how to use it, and I know the anointing that God has put on my life, and the enemy will no longer live in my tent or in my camp. I know how to execute the judgment that was on the cross 2,000 years ago by a hammer and a nail, and the enemy will have no authority in my tent. I'm not a bee. I'm not a beauty. I'm a mountain goat, but I know how to hang on the side of rough places, and I know how to get from here to there, and I know how to do what God has called me to do. Yes. Preach. Preach. Yes, they are. Yes. Amen. There you go. They fight back. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. I'm done. We could just preach and preach and preach this morning. But these girls are preaching in this house this morning. But I am so thankful for the anointed, powerful women and men of God in this house. And I am thankful for what God is doing. And I want you to be encouraged this morning. I want you to show up to that battle that you're looking at with bread and wine in your hand. I'm not backing down. I'm not backing down. I got bread and wine and I got a lamb and I know how to use it. That's how I'm showing up to the fight. I'm a mountain goat. I'm not going down. She is the goat. The greatest of all time. Come on, somebody. We got any goats in here this morning? Everybody wants to be a lioness. I want to be a goat. Amen. But I challenge you. My whole point this morning is just to challenge you. Don't forget who you are. Remember what God has called you to do, what He's purposed you to do. Maybe you didn't have a good example of that in your life. Maybe you have struggled in areas of your life. And maybe this is a holiday that you just soon pass you on by. Can I just tell you, all of us are in here, had a mom. Whether good or bad. But I want to empower you this morning to be all who God has called you to be. And quit comparison. Quit the comparison game. Nobody wins that game. Be who God has called you to be, but don't back down. Be powerful. Show up. Be the anointed vessel that God has called you to be. When that woman with the alabaster walked into the room, stand to your feet with me this morning. She was despised, she was rejected, and she had a history. She had a reputation, but she cracked open an alabaster box and she began to pour it out on the feet of Jesus. And when she did, there was an aroma and a fragrance that filled the room. And Jesus began to rebuke every negative word spoken against her and said, wherever the gospel is preached, this woman's name shall be mentioned, because the gospel is about releasing a fragrance and an aroma that changes atmospheres. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.